welcome to another Spending MP. I know it's been a while, but Paul's been slacking.
Don't dump this on me.
It's really your fault. Like, part of it, like, I don't know if you remember this, but it was about probably almost a year ago now, maybe a little bit under that, where you tried to explain to me how the Electoral College worked and how Trump could never win. Do you remember that?
Not on the show though. This was like just like
This was just in real life. You were trying to explain to me.
Yeah, I was like everybody else on the face of the planet.
And then I was like, I know how the Electoral College works. There aren't going to be enough people to vote for her, and so we were both wrong.
What? That has nothing to do with anything.
I didn't think enough people would show up for her. Obviously, more people showed up for her than him, but. He still ended up winning. Anyway, I just wanted to point out how I told you so.
Okay. Thanks. I think that marks how long it's been.
That's how... Yeah. Well, we've done one in between then, but...
You canceled twice on me before this one.
That's true. You know, life happens. It's hard for you to understand, and I've tried to explain kids to our millions and millions of fans. Kids do... play a big role in how your day works and how much time you have. And so that's been my issue. And so I'm going to start ignoring my kids more.
Well, okay, so it'd be different. I think it's different if I just showed up to your place, like, all Doc Brown style. Like, Marty, we got to go back to the... You know, like, with a bunch of recording equipment. But that's how it happens. What happens is, like...
We have time, yeah.
Yeah, early in the week, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
And then I let you... Then I let you pick a day and a time with a lot of flexibility in
right.
there.
But so the part of it that it doesn't get said here is that, like, we have to be prepared for something. It's not like we just show up and talk about randomness, although I suppose we could just talk about randomness. But, like, yeah, I have to, like, play something or watch something, and it's...
the chores.
It's hard to... No, I want to. There's not enough time in the day.
So, okay, it's... All right. Have you canceled before just because, like, you didn't do the shit you were not prepared? Is that one of the reasons? Because I think that's more of a valid reason than the stuff you've given
me. At least partially. In part, that's happened. Like, the one time I could have done we were supposed to do an Oscar one, and I didn't watch enough of the movies in time. And so that one I was like, all right, let me just push it back a week. And actually... I pushed it back a week, and then you couldn't do it.
Yeah. For once, I couldn't do it.
So, I mean,
for
man,
once, I couldn't do it.
It's a shame. A childless punk like you.
I had plans. I, like, went somewhere or did something. Keep in mind, too, for that Oscar one, like, I was not only, like, I gave you a bunch of opportunities. I was providing you with the movies as well.
It's true.
Like,
I mean, you gave me everything I needed to succeed, and I still
you
failed.
Still just...
It's a shame.
Well, somehow you were able to shrug your responsibilities and build up enough stuff to talk about.
It's literally my kid's first birthday.
Okay.
Just kidding. It was Friday.
Okay.
And then we celebrated yesterday.
She doesn't know that, right?
Doesn't realize. No, and clue. Actually, we were celebrating yesterday, and she slept 90% of the time.
I know. Like, that should just be, like, you and your wife should just go out that day and say, like, hey, we made a kid a year ago. Because that's for you guys. That's not for her.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's more for the family. We just needed someone to watch. If we could figure out, would you watch our children? I don't think Aaron would let you watch.
What?
Eh, not both of them.
So, here...
Like, probably, like, Emmett.
Okay, sure. Like, two kids is a lot. It sounds like it's a lot just for you, like, your wife alone to watch both of them. Or
right,
you
right,
alone.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, like, I think what you have to understand is I don't want to go to jail.
What are you going to do with the kids?
No. So my impetus to make sure I don't fuck up while watching a child is pretty high.
Okay.
Right? Like, fair it's not enough. Like watch the puppy and I buy you one that, like, looks kind of like it.
Fair
You're out there trying to, like, kidnap mulatto kids that look kind of like yours.
I don't think this one's ours.
No.
I don't know.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure I know my kid. Anyway, all right.
If that would get you to see that,
we're getting ready to start.
Because I'll tell you what, we're not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about Get Out.
I don't know why you got to be a dick about it.
And we're not going to talk about Logan.
Like, I don't want to watch it. Like,
no, but if I could
had
assist,
an opportunity. So I went to Portland last weekend, had an opportunity to watch it with my cousin, And I said no.
Why?
Because I know Erin wants to watch it.
But she never will.
That's the kind of husband I am. I just want to. I want that on record. You want that millions and millions.
You want that illusion of that you'll actually do things for a while.
Nope, because my wife would be upset.
So this, I get this. This is where I'm missing. Like the key to marriage is to like not do things you want to do because the other person will want to do them, but will never do them.
No,
so you both have to suffer and live in a lie.
I would rather watch it with her. Like both of us would rather watch it. And then this is really like you're pointing out something that you're trying to insinuate that there's, you know, I'm unhappy not watching this. There's really something a little bit more insidious behind this. When we were first married, and this is before kids, she went to see True Grit with her family without me.
Okay.
And I hold it over her head to this
day. Why
did
you just go to see it by her?
Because we were supposed to watch it together, Paul. And so I will purposefully put myself in situations where I can remind her, ha-ha, I could have seen.
True Grit's okay, it's not that great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I think both Logan, I just went on my own on like at 11 on a Wednesday. Because I was just like, yeah. I want to go see this movie. I don't want to wait for anybody.
I went by myself to go see Rogue One.
Okay.
But I know that Erin would want to see both Get Out and
But she Logan. Never will. That's the thing.
I think like the opportunity to go is slim. But like if we did get a night where someone, you know, a friend I do a podcast with watches both things for a couple hours.
So, there's an opportunity. I will gladly try to watch your children.
All right.
And Logan's actually coming back to theaters because they're going to show it in black and white.
Yeah. I don't want to watch it in black and white, though.
It actually looks, some of the trailers he did in black, it would look really good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind watching, but like Mad Max, I watched the black and white one. Good, but like, that movie is so visually stunning.
So, yeah, the colors are a big part of that. This one, though, I think the black and white, you're not... Not that that movie doesn't have nice visuals, but it's not in that way. The black and white doesn't take away. In fact, I think it adds to that film.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, we cannot talk about that because I have failed as both a parent, husband, and podcast partner.
Yep. But there's some stuff we can talk about.
Yeah.
So, we got some lists down, and we're going to jump around a bunch of stuff. And I think there's only one game on here, so I'm going to talk about that game. There's two, actually.
Two games. I want to talk about another game also.
Go for it.
Because I want you to play it.
Say it. What is it?
Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
I don't know what that is.
It's a mobile game.
Okay.
For Star Wars.
Is it going to take away from my Pokemon Go time?
Rightfully so.
Really?
It's really good. It does take a lot of grinding, but it's really, really good and satisfying.
So what kind of game is it? But like, I mean, it's a mobile game, but like, what type of...
Turn-based squad game.
Okay.
And you have to, like, level up your dudes and all the rest of it.
You're not selling me. Sell me on it. I'm giving you an opportunity. Sell me on it.
So I will sell you on it from the perspective of... There are 163 characters, both light side and dark side. They get released with movies, and it's like every character from all of canon, essentially. And you can build squads based on the historic factor of it. So, like, I have my favorite team right now is an all clone squad. So Fives, Echo, Rex, all of them, and they tear ass because they're supposed to be working together. And so how you sort of work and build those teams to fight both multiplayer and raid styles to get more loot. I mean, rinse and repeat. It's a loot-driven game.
I like loot.
Yeah.
I'm downloading it now.
Loot and experience. And then once you get yourself up to like level 50-ish, let me know and I'll invite you to the game.
Level 50, how long is that going to take me? Like,
it'll take you a little bit. It'll
take me a while?
It'll take you a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, there's microtransactions. I refuse to...
Did you mess with any of that?
I refuse to go down that path.
Okay,
because good. I feel if I went down that path, I would be selling my children.
Well, I mean, that's what I wanted to know is, like, can you get as far? It sounds like you're pretty far.
You can, but it is grinding. Like,
that's fine.
Sam,
someone you know, we know. Yeah.
He plays it, doesn't pay anything, and just grinds. And, like, the daily stuff that you can do.
The game started up automatically on my phone, so that was what that sound was. That was weird.
Terrible.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, real professional.
I downloaded it because you were telling me about it, and it just started. I didn't even prompt it.
We got to start this over.
Just started all over.
All right, so yeah. So that game I've been playing for like a year and a half now, and I have probably logged in every day for the last 3 or 4 months, like, because it's that rewarding and addictive.
Have they added stuff to it from the more recent episodes and stuff?
Yep. In fact, I just the Mandalorians from
Rebels,
the guys that they end up having to fight off to get what's her face back in. This is all very detailed.
Yeah,
like I should have been prepared.
No, it's okay. So this is. I'm glad you brought that because it's like forget the genre. Let's go like because we have some Star Wars things on here. So that's transition. So
it's a perfect transition.
And a hallmark of a good transition is to call out the transition, not make it natural to the conversation, but draw attention to it.
Exactly. That's how they know that there's a transition.
Yeah. So you watched Rebels. That was something you actually did.
I actually liked Rebels this year.
This
season
sucked. The show's not good.
The show is not great.
This is one of my least favorite seasons. I watched it all.
Last season was worse, man.
Nah.
Last season was scattered and all over the place.
It had a kind of okay ending.
It ended fantastically, but
and the best
season finale.
The best episode in this one, which was like the Obi-Wan Darth Maul episode, was hampered because it was a Rebels. You know, like that part of it was awesome. The fact that it was attached to that show brought it down. Like, that should have existed somewhere else outside of this terrible show.
Yeah.
The Rebels characters add nothing to that story, to that part.
Not to that story. No, yeah. Like, not to that story. And it makes me feel like they're like, you know, deal. Like, we have to be able to show the end of Darth Maul
And you think about the way, in the last seasons, they built up Maul and then tried to, like, build some sort of relation with him, and just like, that's a cool ending, but like, why did you even introduce this character to have this thing you could have had in a side comic?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Like, I didn't like it. Like, I don't mind that the battle was quick. So, Darth Maul gets killed finally by
Obi-Wan. Yeah.
And he'd been searching for Obi-Wan, who had sliced him in half, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And left still him for dead. That. He's still a little bit crazy. But when they introduce him into Rebels as opposed to Clone Wars, he is less crazy and more driven to destroy anything Force related.
Yeah. He has a grudge against both sides. So it's like it's an exact continuation of like where his character left off in the actual Clone Wars series. So that was cool. Again, it's just like that story that they put in there.
That was good.
Was so out of place in that show.
But then all of a sudden, now he's back to crazy talking to himself, Darth Maul, hell-bent on just killing Obi-Wan. Which makes no sense.
Because they play around with like, he's going to try to make like Ezra his apprentice, and he keeps calling him that, which goes nowhere and leads to nothing.
It just seems like this was shoehorned, and it didn't make much sense.
This harkens back to me like from cartoons from like 20 years ago when they're like, let's just throw in a Gus character, like with no kind of regard to where their
story
narrative was.
So yeah, I mean I don't disagree. The season as a whole I liked more because I felt for the first time there's like a rebel cause and there's an overarching story about them being part of the rebel cause and how this rebel cause is growing and starting to be a bigger thorn in the side of the Empire.
That's fair.
And even with like the whole double agent and Thrall being
not a whole lot of like when that happened, I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to explain that at some point. But okay.
Yeah, well, no. They explained. I'm not saying it was a good explanation, but yeah, like his interaction with Zeb.
And yeah.
Saved by Zeb or whatever. I'm not saying it's good, but yeah. Like there's a reason behind.
There's like a double agent and he's a major character. I forgot the character's name. He's a major villain, and you find out he's actually their double agent, and which is fine. It's an okay thing.
And actually, I thought the writing behind that was good. Like, so leading up to the finale, which they shit it all away. The smart writing behind. All right, there is a double agent. They're trying to, like, smoke him out. And Thrall is smart enough to realize it ain't just some peon who isn't smart enough. Like, they have to be creative about who it is. And they find out who it is and, you know, essentially capture him. Yes, you have your whole, he narrowly escapes death.
But whatever.
Yada, yada, yada. But, like, it was smart writing, not just sort of like, oh, I have no idea who it is. And these bumbling Empire characters are just chasing their tails. Like, they were competent up until the final.
No, you are correct in that they spread it too much across. They spread they have a spoonful of jelly, and they are spreading it across a whole loaf of bread.
Yeah,
and it's just like there isn't enough there for that. Like that's one or two episodes, and you have to reinforce it. Like they jump around way too much. They lose focus. I don't know what's going on. Like I want to be in that room and like wonder like. Because, you know, sometimes it's like people, you know, they're in their own bubble. They think they're doing great. Or maybe there's other things, right? Maybe they have different mandates because of the network and the studio. Which is, that's another thing. But I want to be there to understand, like, all right, what happened with this thing?
That's why I think that's happening. Because, like, the advantage that the Clone Wars had is that there are no movies being released during that time. There's no, I mean, maybe there's thoughts about it towards the middle of the Clone Wars and then the end, but that's going to be the sequels far, far out in the future, so, like, you have a lot of stuff to work with. Rebels takes place in a time period in which, yes, we've passed, but we're releasing at least two movies that we know of during that time. And we're releasing movies that will have some sort of tie-in
to that time. Two things. Period. So, I really like Clone Wars. I think you're right. They're not all gems, but I think the highs of that show are so much higher than Rebels. And you can like there are maps like because of the way they did that show. Like there is a 7-episode block that's fantastic. You can ignore whatever. Like you can't really do that with Rebels.
So they're. 6 seasons of Clone Wars with, like, what, 15 to... how many episodes a season? I feel like there's a ton of...
There's a ton of episodes,
number
I think it's one. I think it's uneven.
Number two, the end of Clone Wars is really, really good. A lot of the beginning and a lot of the middle, not so great.
I would say that, like, especially the first 2 seasons... suffers a lot that Rebels does. But it's clear by, like, at least season 3, like, they figured out what the hell they were doing.
True.
Rebels is already there.
But like, it takes off when they introduce Maul.
Rebels? In Rebels, yes.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say in Clone Wars
also. I think it's before that. Because then you get the Cat Bane stuff. That's so good. He's really good. That stuff is super really interesting. Yeah. There's stuff in there with I forgot there was a whole this battle on a planet and it was like a big 5-episode arc where the Jedi like betrayed like one their Jedi general like betrayed them. Yeah. Like that thing is awesome and it built up their
clone. That one was a really
that's,
good
that's
one.
Early on too.
With the clones.
Yes, that was
that whatever.
Yes.
Dark.
There's a whole don't forget the arc with Ahsoka when like she's framed for the bombing and
that's the end.
But I'm saying like
that is the best thing they've done.
But early on they had things like before Maul and whatever.
Yeah.
So, Clone Wars had like I feel like they had a chip on their shoulder going into that. You're right. There were no movies being produced, and they're making the show in between some of the most reviled films anywhere. Like I feel like the writers had a chip on their shoulder, like something to like prove. Yeah. Where I think where Rebels is right before. Maybe one of the most beloved movies in the entire franchise. And I don't know if they're taking it easy because of that, but like it felt like the Clone Wars people were fucking working for it.
But there was no guiding light. Like with Clone Wars, it's like how do we make Episode 3 make sense, or how do we make Episode 2 and Episode 3 make sense? How do we make people like Anakin?
Which is that when you talk about tall tasks.
Yeah. So
fuck, man.
But it's a goal, right? It's a goal, and you're a writer.
Well I mean,
and
like,
so how do you write something to
like? I'm sure there was something at like Cartoon Network where someone came in with like, we're gonna make people like fucking Christian hate, like hating Christian, and people were like, what?
Like, but even like just the whole idea, it's sort of like. The prequels forgot about how everything that was said in the originals of like, oh, he was a good friend, he mm-hmm. was a great pilot.
And, yep, yep.
You know, he was seduced by the dark side. Like, you get none of that mm-hmm. in the prequels, and so that's their guiding light. They're like, how do we answer these questions that everyone has? And so I think there's something there. Rebels doesn't have that guiding light, other than like what I've read is that. All right, how do we show how this kid becomes part of the virgining or burgeoning rebel force?
And you hinted that it's a time where they knew there were movies coming out and there's stuff to tie into. They don't leverage Rogue One at all. Like we just
do it after the movie because they what's his name. Forrest Whitaker.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What? Okay. So what? Like that yeah. doesn't mean anything at all. Like his character shows up in some episodes, but whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
He was already introduced in the Clone.
And that's the other thing is why I think it got this season was better is because after Rogue One came out, it became much more serious on Rebels. I feel it became much more like
too little, crap. Too late.
I'm not disagreeing that, they should have done better early on, but I feel that now that there's movies out there that they can be like, all right, now we can sort of move in this direction and handle this.
So bad.
But it's not that bad.
It's bad.
The season finale, like, you just, it's sort of like...
But their season finales had been good in the past. Yeah, they had been good.
But the season finale did to Thrall what Episode 7 did to Captain Phasma. Just
what?
Neutered him.
Yeah.
Like, he was the danger
yep.
that knew everything about them, knew exactly how to trap them, knew exactly what their weaknesses were, and you neutered it.
And especially with his character, when you talk about the expanded universe and, like, a beloved series, like, he's it. Right, like Thrall, like that is the guy. Like he's arguably one of the most beloved and important figures to the expanded universe that post Jedi, Return of the Jedi mythos. And like it's cool that they introduced him, but like they introduced him, he wasn't Thrall. He could have been anybody.
Yeah,
he could have been anybody. You could have called him anybody. He could have been George. Like right, like Steve, General Steve.
I mean, Steve doesn't sound like a Star Wars name.
It doesn't, but whatever. Like, Luke isn't a name.
That's true.
It's a normal name.
I wasn't as upset with it as you were. I thought it was, overall, its strongest.
Because I was going and hoping that, like, you know what? At least I'll get a dope finale.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The finale was not good.
What are they doing?
It's not good. And they're doing another one. I was hoping they would just... ended here through another season.
Yeah, but now that they know it's their last season,
I thought
you have a focus, you have a purpose. I feel like their writers, when they are at the top of their game, are really good. So I hold out faith that it'll be okay-ish.
Well, all right. Actually, there's another Star Wars thing I want to talk about, but I didn't write it down here. Did you see the trailer for Battlefront?
I did see the trailer for Battlefront, and I went by Battlefront again.
Yeah, so, okay, so the first Battlefront was, like, EA got the license to make a Star Wars game, and they got DICE, and they made a Star Wars game, like, with no time. They're like, listen, we need to make this Star Wars game. Like, you have basically 8 months to do it. It only touched on the original trilogy stuff. There was no single-player mode. It was... a very few maps, And really, there was a handful of modes, but only like two that were worth anything. But they got repetitive because of the maps and stuff.
Right.
This one, the trailer. Well,
so before you get into the second one, this that first game looked amazing.
Yeah, yeah, like no, it's DICE. It's the Battlefront guys. Like it had cool stuff in it.
Right. Our millions and millions of fans will remember our E3 episodes. They're all about listening to our old episodes. And I pre-ordered the game as soon as I saw the...
It's a cool trailer.
Because it looked amazing.
And to be fair, on the stuff that they showed in the trailer, I do not...
It delivered.
It delivered, exactly. Yeah. I don't think that they sold a bill of false goods. It's just that usually when you see... You get used to seeing trailers and like knowing that there's more.
It was
you thin. Saw exactly you what saw, was there.
You saw what it was offering. It still, to this day, I think it has... If not the best, one of the best sound designs. Just playing that game feels like you're in Star Wars.
I mean, DICE nailed the engine. It looks right. It feels pretty good. I think there's some wonky things or some other weird decisions, but you feel like you're in the Star Wars universe there. This new one, it looks like they are learning their lessons from the past. Like it's a full-on story trailer.
Yeah.
It takes place and it seems to be like immediately after Return of the Jedi and like the rise of like the New Order. There seems to be like a main protagonist
anti-hero. I think they literally call her an anti-hero.
So, it's using some of the new stuff from the new universe. It has heroes in it like Kylo and Rey. So
it's got our boy Darth in there too.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're just throwing everything in there, and like Yoda's in it as well. And Maul. Yeah. Maul's in it, so is Yoda. Yeah. So it looks like they got more time to work on this thing. I'm gonna have to wait.
I don't. Cause it's
you have to justify it. I get it.
I'm happy I bought the first one.
Sure,
And it
that's fair.
It is better. It already looks better and has more than the first one.
So that's
like,
fair.
Like, what else do you have to tell me that to convince me that I need to get it? Like, is it better than the first? Does it have a single player? Does it look the same, if not better? All of those answers are yes. All right.
Okay,
sold.
That's fair. No, it's not that like I'm waiting. I know that like I'll totally pass on it. I'm waiting to find out that like is it actually are they actually doing the things it seems like they're showing?
Yeah,
I have no reason to believe they won't.
Yeah, I have no reason to believe that they won't. Not only that, like Battlefront, the first one, the releases that they had after the original release of like the DLC were actually pretty good.
I didn't like the way they did their Seasons Pass stuff.
Like that structure of it, I didn't like it either. But
what was there?
What you got to do, like the attack on the Death Star stuff,
yep,
was really good. Even how they started redesigning like battles. I don't know if you've played it recently, but doing like dogfighting and stuff, they've changed all of that up.
It's not a
permanent lock. It's like the lock times out after a while, so it makes it more strategic. It's a lot more open to battle swings. So like they've improved upon an already good format. So yeah, you take that, put it into a new game with more stuff that looks better.
Okay, I want to see what they do with the new stuff. The way like Disney or Lucas or whatever has been handling that new stuff is they've been so careful with it though that it's been a little bit limiting. But yeah, well, and speaking of stuff in the new universe, between now and the fucking forever when we record this, they dropped a trailer for Episode 8.
Yep,
The Last Jedi.
Did Carrie Fisher die between the last time we did the episode also?
I think she may have been...
It was 2016.
Did we talk about Rogue One?
We talked about Rogue One. Like, cause we
how shortly after Rogue One did she pass?
It was in December, I want to say.
Oh, so maybe she just did or something? I don't remember.
I can't remember when we did. Because we did our year end and all of that stuff. Anyway, trailer for Episode 8 came out. Which, you know, it's exciting that it's coming out this year.
So we watched it before this thing. So I said, like, I watched it, like, two or three times when it first got released. And I went, like, it's not that great of a trailer. like on a trailer basis,
right?
That first episode 7 trailer is a great fucking trailer.
Yeah, and I argued with you at first. I was like, I don't know if it was like that much that it was a great trailer or just nostalgia and excited for a new Star Wars. And then we watched it again and it was like, yeah, that's a great fucking trailer.
It's a great fucking trailer.
Just like, yeah, the X-Wings flying over the water.
The water. Like, it's got like the great music cues.
Yeah,
like
the music played a huge part.
But it's cues. Like they have the same stuff to work with. And this is purely on trailer because I think I've talked enough about my feelings about Episode 7.
Right.
But as a trailer, that's a great trailer. This the Episode 8 trailer. It's not as good as a trailer. Like. You do get some more Luke in it. He does a bunch of voiceover in it. There are some shots of like Rey doing training shit, which you thought it was. There are some other shots of some of the other characters of Poe and Finn. Some brief ones of Kylo, which they changed his scar. Do you hear the reason why?
Yeah.
He's like, I just saw it stupid over his nose, which is fine, like, whatever. Yeah, which is whatever.
I mean, if you're gonna like. Thank you for admitting that.
That's fine.
If you're
gonna
make that decision, sweet.
Yeah.
Make that decision.
I'm fine with that.
But man, it kind of makes me wonder when all is said and done with the digitized, re-released versions of these sequels. Will they change
episode 7, move it over?
Where he actually got cut.
Well, and also, too, like, there's kind of practical reasons. Like, where it was, like, that's way more makeup that you had to...
Yeah. Like, I'm sure they tested it out and looked silly. Part of me wondered if they'd be fine with it just from the standpoint of, okay, now he'll actually have to have a mask or because he doesn't want to wear... Whatever, but
oh yeah,
I thought that was funny. Yeah, they moved his scar slightly.
It was it was right over the bridge's nose, and they moved it over an eye. So, yeah. Which is because you're like, what? And like, I like that he's like, dude, I just thought it looked weird. Like,
dude, if they make a comment to that in the movie, like
someone
Rey and Kylo face each other, it's like, what? Didn't I cut your nose? Like something. Come on.
Don't. That's anyway. Silly. Yeah, so it shows a bunch of stuff that, like, so A, it shows a bunch of stuff that you're like, duh. Which, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that.
No, yeah.
It just wasn't exciting.
And it's the first trailer, maybe later.
But no, that one that we saw of episode 7 was the first trailer.
But, so, because you're starting to move down the path of, like, it didn't show anything, with the exception of what they say at the end, it didn't show anything that was a surprise, right?
And the
episode 7 trailer, everything's going to be a fucking surprise.
So, I would say, okay, so what I mean that is, like, it was super on the nose. Like, you can show a training session with Rey that isn't so spot on the nose, you know what I mean? Like,
and so, here's the thing. I tend to be more of a defender of this type of stuff than I
it's
need
fine.
To.
We need a counterbalance.
Yeah. But like in my mind, it's more of I'd rather a trailer like this where I'm not getting stuff spoiled. Where I could have told you, like, if you told me make a trailer for episode 8, not knowing anything. I would have had some of that information.
And I do want to be clear that, like, I'm not saying that it should show me a bunch of new stuff. It was just that, like, it was so on the, like, you can show a training session. Like, there's a shot of, like, that everybody wanted to see of her, like, out in those weird cliffs waving the lightsaber out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can accomplish the same kind of thing without showing something so on the nose, you know what I mean? That was just, like, exactly what I in my mind, what I thought. Like, you literally, like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was already kind of, my guard's already super up for this film, in a way, I don't know, it's been like this for a long time.
And part of me wondered, like, how you would feel about, what Luke says at the end. So, you know, you're seeing everything, and then at the end, Luke says,
one thing I know for sure is that
there can be no more Jedi.
Yeah, the Jedi at the end. I think I think it was Polygon that had posted it. It was a reference to that and why the Jedi need to end. Basically, it goes into the idea of, like, you basically have this, like, unmonitored religious organization
needing separation,
like, how fucked up that is, like, taking sides and not being, like, that could be promising. Like, in a vacuum, where I'm not looking at anything else, the idea that this character is looking at the thing that he's been a part of and recognizing some of the flaws in it. Because here's the thing they've always talked about in Star Wars, is the idea of the balance of the Force. The Jedi do not represent balance at all. Like, if you're going to have balance, it's like, well, we need to have both Sith, like, you know, you need to have both parties, and, like, there needs to be that tension.
Well, they sort of allude to that also in the trailer. They say, like, it's much bigger. Like, it literally says... It's much bigger than just Jedi or whatever. And then even Clone Wars, they do that also.
Like, yeah. But, like, it's an obvious thing that, like, characters don't really, like, they don't really address in Star Wars. Like, the good guys, the Jedi, the good guys, often talk about balance, right? But, like, without recognizing that they represent imbalance. That, like, them being around is fundamental to the imbalance. And the fact, like, them, every time they have a victory, they are shifting the imbalance in one direction. It'd be cool if the show addressed that, right? If the movie does, sorry. I don't necessarily trust them to address that.
So this brings up a couple questions, and one that I don't think we've discussed, and I'm not sure what's out there. I'm sure there's theories out there. Anakin is supposed to be the chosen one that brings balance to the Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
He does by destroying the Jedi.
No, I think okay.
See, like, because I feel that
it's weird. It's weird. It depends on how you. So he destroys the Jedi, but what he does is, like, if anything, he is a dramatic, like, balance shifter. So he destroys the Jedi, shifts the balance way in another direction.
See, it makes me wonder if that's true though. Like, did it, once he destroyed the Jedi, did it actually shift?
Of course it did.
Because, I mean, just by numbers in the universe that we know, you've got Emperor Palpatine, Vader, you got Obi-Wan, and Yoda.
One was clearly, like, but it's not just that, it's, like, the influence that they can project because of their power.
But I'm talking about the moment, right? So, going into the prequels, going into Episode 4, 5, and 6... Maybe it is them swinging over to the dark side but, like, as he destroys the Jedi,
one of the very last shots,
very end of Episode 3, it is balanced.
So at the very end of Episode, the last shot you see of them in Episode 3 is one of my favorite fucking shots in Star Wars. Is like Palpatine, like, watching the construction of the Death Star, and Vader comes up behind us, the arm cross. At that moment, that shit is not balanced. Like, it's not. Like, one side
clearly... It is starting to move to the other side.
One side clearly has way more power than the other.
Anyway, my point being, like, the bringing balance to the Force, like, I think the more popular thought is that Anakin wasn't the chosen one, Luke was. But I feel that Anakin was bringing balance to the Force. And then it just swung over to the other side. Luke then swings it slightly over.
The way I've always interpreted the idea of the balance is that both sides have it wrong, right? That, like, like, Jedi are, like, literally the monks of it. One of the tenets of Buddhism is that, like, life is suffering, right? And, like, so, like monks go to the extreme of that, is to eliminate all suffering in the world and, like, basically deny themselves elements of, like family and all that other stuff. But by doing that, like, you're denying parts of life. And, like, that's kind of like the Jedi do. Like you don't have attachments, you don't have family, you don't have any shit. So, like, although, yes, you are avoiding the traps, like, of loss, of hate, of all that other stuff, but you're denying
life.
Yeah, you're denying it. And if the Force is life, you're fundamentally denying it. Now, the Sith are the other extreme of that, where they're embracing, like, some of the easier, quote, in quotes, negative qualities of it, and, like, that's the attractive part of the Sith, is, like, maybe they are more the Force than anything else. Like,
because they're embracing
all of it. But they're not, like, they just don't know moderation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're embracing so much of it, but don't know the moderation, where the Jedi are practicing too much moderation. I think the balance is, like, a recognition of that. Like, you have to live in the world and live with those emotions and those things and recognize them as real, but not let them control your life.
Right.
And, like, neither side accomplishes that. Like, if you want to talk about, like, the Jedi have to die and there's balance, like, if that movie addresses that, that's dope. I do not trust them. I do not believe in any way, shape, or form that it's like that. I don't
think they will do it well.
Yeah.
as optimistic as I am about it being good and all the rest of it, I don't think they'll do it well.
So, and that's where I'm like, that, like, to see that, I'm like, don't, like,
yeah.
You're just gonna recycle the same thing, and it's not that interesting.
It'll be interesting to see.
And to be honest, I don't think Rey is the character for that.
Maybe she's not.
No. I mean, specifically for what I'm talking about, in the characters that they've had in the series that were in those positions, like, obviously they didn't go that. But if you were to look at ones, like, Anakin was probably the prime one to, like, recognize both sides of it. Clearly didn't, right? Luke, Ishis?
Kylo.
Kylo is another one, yes. But Rey is the least one there of what they showed of that character.
Of what they portray that character.
I don't necessarily
think that. It doesn't mean that they'll use her for that.
But again, to my hesitation about this is like, this is what I think the balance actually means.
Yeah.
You do not have the structure built around this thing.
No, I agree.
Oh, man.
I'm ready to be there first day, excited to see it. Check it out. I feel they'll try to go in a similar direction as any of these second movies and the trilogies and go dark and all the rest of it.
After this is in the middle of the production of this one, there were a lot of rumors swimming around about what kind of the plot was and based off of some of the stuff that was leaked, and using leaked in air quotes again, and then some of the images, like the big, like, force tree. Have you seen the tree issue, like, images?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've told my friend, like, I might walk out if any of that stuff is true.
Yeah.
I hope that Don't stuff is ridiculous. Bad internet stuff. Yeah. That stuff was real bad.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm not going
to
walk out
of it. I'll be there with this face, just a no, just full arms crossed, just pissed off face. Oh, I hope they'll do that.
Anyway, yeah, we'll see how it ends up. The trailer itself wasn't too promising. It's exciting that it's coming out this year. That's about it.
I'm super excited to see it, but for like super weird reasons in a way that like, and like the guy directing it has made some of my favorite movies. Brick is like in my top five favorite movies of all time. Looper is fucking awesome.
Actually,
Brick is amazing. I love Brick.
Have
you seen any of those? Either of those?
Yeah. Looper's, you're insane.
You don't like Looper? It's not one of my favorite, but I like it. It's a cool movie.
It's a C+.
It's a cool movie. Well, okay, so that's fine if you don't like, but like, that guy, so, the first, episode 7, you have J.J. Abrams. He's big studio guy, makes big movies, right? The guy directing episode 9 is the guy directed Jurassic World. Also, big summer movie guy. This dude, like, regardless of, like, if you don't like, you can not like Looper, but that is an indie movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. With, like, there's, like, two types of guns in that movie.
Yeah, indie is a stretch. It was wide released.
So do you know how a lot of that, like, so in Looper, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, who will become Bruce Willis, is studying French.
Yeah.
Because in the original script, he was supposed to go to France, but they didn't have money to release it. So they went to China, and China has rules that, like, you can't release movies. You can't have, like, they only allow X amount of foreign movies released in a year.
Right.
If you shoot some of the movie in China, it's not considered foreign, and they'll give you money. So they literally beg China for money, which is why they shot, like, his character doesn't go, like, some character tells him, don't go to France, trust me, in the future, go to China. That's why that thing is there. Like, that's a, when you have to go to another country and beg for money and you literally change your movie, like, that's an indie-ass indie movie.
Yeah, anyway, wide release. But
I mean, so does Tarantino movies, but... So.
What were we talking about? Anyway, so I'm excited for it. I'm also happy about the reception and the success of Rogue One, because I hope that influences at least their editing
of
the movie. Like, I know the script was already written and most of that is already set in stone, but I hope it influences some of those, like, tiebreaker decisions of should we go this route or that route?
And where I was getting at with that director is, like, you have two, like, guys that do big studio movies, and one guy that, like, one of these doesn't fit, like, the row. And, like, I want to root for him, this guy, because, like, he's made some stuff that I love. So I hope this thing is also dope. What's your thing? Looper's a cool movie, man.
I didn't say it wasn't. It's C+, man. Like, can't.
I think you're judging
tell me
it.
That's
fine. Brick is amazing, though.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt and I go way back.
You do.
We're best friends.
The makeup on him is weird, though. Yeah, it is weird. Super. Like, I don't know why they did that.
Well, I mean, they're trying to make him look.
They shouldn't have done that.
But he looked less, I feel. Like, if they just left him alone, they'd be like, all right.
Just tell him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
He got fights. He broke his nose. Like, whatever. Don't make him look more like him. That's so weird. All right. Well, I don't have anything for this next transition, so we're just going to talk about it, because it's the top of the list.
All right.
It's Zelda.
Zelda.
Breath of the Wild.
That's a big
transition. You played a video game.
I played a video game, and I love it, and I'm still playing it, and I feel like I'll be playing it for another month, just because of how massive that game is.
Well, so what's the last Zelda game you played, just as a reference?
Skyward Sword.
Oh, you actually played that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I played a lot of Zelda games. Like,
well, of the,
those are the few games that I've played.
That game was not super well received, so that's why I'm surprised
you played it. Yeah, but, I mean, before that, Twilight Princess.
Okay.
Which also wasn't...
That game's aged better, though.
Yeah. I played Wind Waker before that.
I never played Wind Waker.
Wind Waker was really
good. I didn't own it in Xbox.
Really good. So I've played a lot of Zelda games. And this so far, and I'm holding a final judgment, so far is the most fun I've had, as amazed as I've ever been at playing a Zelda game. Probably any game. Just as far as just surprised at, holy shit, I didn't know I could do that. Just how intuitive, like, the gameplay is.
Mm-hmm.
And it redefines sandbox open world games for me.
A really clever thing that game does right in the beginning, in your starting area, is it gives you a lot of sand. Like, you get some of the classic Zelda items, like bombs, like a magnet like thing. Like, you get a lot of that stuff within the first hour of that game. And they say, like, here you go. And then they basically go, all right, go use all this shit in the world.
Right. And that's genius, because, yeah, it forces you to see how open and inventive you can be with playstyle, with battles, with attacking, with everything that happens in that universe. And again, like, the open world thing is a huge thing for me, because, all right, Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. like, your grandfather of open world games, they just get bigger and bigger. The city becomes bigger and bigger. You can go further and further. But you can't go in every single building. You can't interact mm-hmm. with every single thing that's out there. And it's sort of just known. Like, you just know that you can't do that stuff. And so you know that so much from playing open world games and games like Grand Theft Auto that I didn't even think about doing stuff in Zelda until my son asked me. Like, he was just asking something that's fairly obvious, but other games
have, like, games have taught you to not try
to try to do that, because no, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try it and it works, and you're just like, man, why aren't all games like this?
So, a thing that people would I didn't own the original Zelda. I didn't play it till way later. But I just didn't own it. I didn't have. I couldn't buy it. I didn't have a job. I was like 6.
Were you even that old? How old was
I? I was really young.
Because you were born in 83, 84?
Around then. Around
then. Not sure.
Around then.
Okay. But anyway.
But the thing that people always talked about, and their love of it, is the idea of, like, exploring this world, right?
Right.
And like, seeing what's out there and exploring. I think the first Zelda game I played was on the Game Boy, was like Link's Awakening. And and the exploring part, I never, because of the way those little games were structured, the exploration, like, I never... That was not something I came to that game for. It didn't stick out to me. When people tell stories about, like, oh, is it like going out in the woods and finding new stuff?
Right.
To me, it was about, like, getting these cool... Like, seeing their cool puzzles and overcoming these obstacles. This game is like, oh, this is what they mean by going out there and exploring.
Yeah.
Like, looking out and like, I just want to fucking head towards that mountain and like, see what's up there.
You can literally, I mean, barring, like, you need the right...
Can we talk about the climbing? Because I think that's a huge part of this. Is this game... Yeah.
So that was the first thing that my son asked me. So, like, you know, it's right at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
You walk out and you look at this world and you're looking around and you're just like, all right, what do I do? And my son's like, oh, climb that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mountain. It's you're on the top of a hill and there's like a rock formation or whatever. And I was like, all right, let me try it. And you can climb up the mountain.
You can basically climb on like most surfaces and pretty much anything outdoors.
Actually, anything outdoors.
Yeah, the only stuff you can't climb on is like in dungeon, but anything outdoors. So like in Skyrim, when you climb mountains, you're like doing that weird sideways walk.
Yeah.
Like this one, like nope, you just like climb right up.
Yeah, and like you literally outside anything you can see, mm-hmm. you could climb up to the top
Crazy.
Provided you have the right amount of stamina and right amount or right clothes or whatever.
But and really, that doesn't. I have not run into something I couldn't climb outdoors, which is like where I couldn't rest on a ledge or like rest on a branch to regain my stamina.
Well, there's a couple of things like that I've run into where I would run out of stamina before getting to the top or whatever. But anyway,
you're a little bit further than I am too.
Yeah. So that in and of itself is phenomenal. But like the world is so huge, and it rewards you for just sort of walking and doing whatever. Because you'll run into something where, I don't know, there's a treasure box or there's some minerals or whatever random bug or animal that's around that you can use for food, potions.
It's really... And that's what something going into this game that, like... So, this isn't the first open world game to give you a lot of options. There are other ones that were, like, you could jump really high so you can kind of get to wherever, like... But the world has been kind of bland for the most part. It's chock full of shit. Like you don't walk very far without something. Seeing stuff. Yeah,
like the tiny bugs that you see floating around. Like at night, there's like lightning bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can catch them and you can use them for whatever. And
this game also does a really good job of like. So Zelda has always been about kind of like you figuring out these mysteries and you figuring out the world. And, like, coming across puzzles. Like, I think I saw a boulder on top of a hill. I knocked it down, and it went in the hole, and a thing came out. You stumble, and there's all that stuff. Like, you could see some rocks in a weird formation, or tree-shaped, and, like, there is a puzzle or a thing that's related to it that's really cool.
And it's all intuitive. Like, that's what's neat about it, is how... Yeah, the thought behind the game design is that, you know, it... seems obvious. Some of it, so I will say there are things that I wish they told you to begin with. Because there is no tutorial. There's no...
There kind of is. It's very light. It's super light.
There's no, like, here's how you do X, Y, and Z. Like,
and also, I think that's to the... Because that game just says go.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, you wake up and it's like, all right, get your ass out there.
And again, there's good things about that, but there's drawbacks because there's some stuff that... And again, maybe this is because of what games have taught me. There's some stuff that doesn't necessarily come to mind away. Like, so specifically, how to light a fire. So if you see a pot and there's a fire beneath it, you know you can cook stuff in it. And you just throw ingredients in there, and depending upon what ingredients you throw in, it pops up, and there's food, there's a potion, something is there. What you don't get is how to light that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you run into something where you can find flint, and you're just like, okay, I can find flint. And it literally tells you, hey, with a spark, you can light fire, but you don't exactly know how to make the spark. And again, when you find out how you can do it, it seems obvious. But, like, maybe games have just taught me, and I should have known, but you have to lay the flint down and then hit it with a sword. So, that causes a spark, which lights a fire.
You told me about this, and this reminds me something about those old games. Because, like, the original Zelda game, like, there's important... To finish the game, there are parts where, like, you have to go to a certain screen and like, bomb this unmarked wall.
Mm.
You would never know this, which I actually hated about old Zelda games.
Right.
But, like, a lot of that was passed for, like, going to school with somebody, and, like, hey... You know, did you know if you did this and then this would happen? Like, there seems to be like a lot of that stuff in the game. Like I showed you and told you, like, yeah, I attached these things to my boat and made an airboat. You know what I mean? Like, where there's a lot of word of mouth and a lot of like group learning.
Yeah.
In the internet age, it makes a lot of that really easy. You can Google a bunch of stuff like that. But I'm running into more anecdotal stories
about it. I've tried to stay away from like YouTube or the internet because I don't want it to spoil stuff. And part of the fun of playing this game is discovering that stuff on your own. So yeah, I didn't know about the balloon thing and making that stuff float. And you spoiled it for me.
It tells you that in the item. Have you seen the item? Yeah, it tells you what it does.
This may make stuff float. Blah blah blah. But even again, like the application of that, like you're like, okay, it makes stuff float, but how and when would I need to use that? And so again, that's what makes it so much fun.
I attached it to some bombs and made other bombs float away. They're exploding barrels.
Right. So yeah. Anyway, so that kind of stuff is very fascinating, very, very interesting. The world is gigantic, and at this point in the game, I'm feeling almost too big based on the playing style that I have.
Because you want to do like all the stuff. Like, I'm ignoring the quests, because you get quests. I'm just like, I have to I'm at a point where like I basically have to find some villages in the world, which means like go walk around. Just
explore.
So I literally turned off the map and like the HUD stuff. Like, and I turned off. Yeah.
And so that might help just walking around and figuring stuff out. Because the more I've been doing that, the more neighborhoods or towns or whatever I'm finding, the more people I'm talking to. And then that's where some of the stuff gets revealed. It's like, hey, did you see blah, blah, blah? There's one.
I'm sure you'll run into it. I'm sure you'll run into an NPC that explains the Flint thing, because that's a lot. That's
probably
they do that a lot too. Where like some NPC will give you these random instructions about how to do stuff.
Actually, that might be what happened.
How you found it? That sounds like something that they did.
Yeah, that might be how I found it.
So I think the little voicing that's in there, all right. So the things I don't like about it, the voice that's in there is terrible. There's not enough voice acting. I don't want to fucking reach it in all the time. And like the writing in Zelda Nintendo games is all the same bad stuff, and the way they phrase it's just not good. Like,
yeah,
it's such a throwback. I'm so over that style of.
Yeah, I'm of two minds. Like, part of me is like, let's just have fucking voice acting for finally. Like, hurry up. Like, Final Fantasy did it. Like,
yeah.
You can do it too. Let's get on board. But then there's also something very Zelda about it.
But it doesn't hold up in this one, because like, fine, Zelda doesn't. I mean, Link doesn't talk, but like Zelda does, and so does a bunch of other characters in this game.
Yeah,
a bunch of characters already do.
I mean, they've done that in the past also with like a couple lines where it's like Link, and just
there. That's it. There's a whole story exposition like given to you by a couple characters.
Yeah, like that's unique, because
they should have went all the way, and I don't like the way they write NPC dialogue, because it makes me fall asleep.
Yeah,
and also, so this is probably could be because of the it being a Switch and a Zelda game. A Wii U game. The frame rate on that thing,
it drops a lot.
I hear
it does that on the Switch also, though.
And that's what I mean. It's probably because they didn't.
Because
you notice we're both playing on the Wii U.
Yeah.
It doesn't use the screen.
Yeah.
Which is
can use it
for what?
You can just tap it and you can.
No, but it doesn't use it as a map or something.
Extra peripheral. Yeah,
just be a map. Like that could be a limitation, but I think that was probably because of the cross things. Exactly. But like, man, a lot of the time that game looks really great. And then all of a sudden, that frame rate will fucking take a dive.
Yeah.
It gets real bad.
The frame rate doesn't bother me as much.
It's more, like, I have someone that can easily ignore frame rate.
Yeah.
It's just that it only happens really in the overworld. It doesn't happen in dungeons, which is fine. But it goes from looking amazing. We're like, this thing looks fucking great, to like, what?
Yeah, to stuttering. I mean, it still looks good, it just stutters.
I mean, yeah.
Because
it's not a couple frames that it's losing.
It's dropping some big ones. I'm trying to think some of the other stuff I don't like. It's hard to say what I don't like about it, just because I feel part of what I don't like is because of my playing style.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is just because, yeah, to go back to, like, I've trained myself not to do something because of how other games work. And so if I just let go and just open myself to the experience.
There's a thing of, like, in game, because this game doesn't, you can literally go anywhere. But there, it tries to kind of gate air, like, I'm using this, I shouldn't even say that, but it'll throw enemies in an area that are pretty strong.
Yeah.
To kind of maybe let you know, like, maybe you shouldn't go here.
You're not ready for this yet.
But it could be difficult to tell because there are some, like, I ran into some ogre characters, and, like, no matter what, they think they're just one-hit kills. They'll just kill me in one hit. They're easy enough to avoid, but, like, the first time I fought one, I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to fight this. And I had to get over, like, wait, I should be able to beat this thing at any level.
Yeah.
But, like, I have to retrain my mind again to say, like, oh, this isn't, should I, or am I supposed to? I'm like, if I want to, I can just do it.
So this has gone back and forth for me. The breaking of the weapons, I think, is back on my I don't like list.
It's just weird.
Because I'm starting to get, like, weapons that I, like, want,
you
and
like,
so I'm
yeah.
purposely avoiding using those weapons. And just, like, picking up, you know, whatever,
like,
goblin
trash.
Arm to use. And so I'm like, well, will I never use this weapon? Because, like, I just don't want it to break. And I'm just like, fuck. Like, so that's kind
you're
of
the one that, like, you and a lot of people said, like, don't worry about it. Just fucking use everything.
Yeah.
And, like, because of that, like, I haven't had a massive issue with it. It's been, there was a part in there where it wasn't doling out weapons. Because that's, oh, so that's another part. If you are fighting enemies that do have more health than what your, like, weapons have, you'll pound on them and, like, I don't have anything else to use on them. I've kind of gotten past some of that hump, and it's dealing out weapons in a different...
Yeah, so the part, when I got to that part, what I liked about it, or where I was defending the weapon breaking, is that, all right, I'm not just mashing and trying to attack the same way. I'm using, like, the time stop rune to build momentum on a rock and using that rock to kill the enemy instead. So I'm being more inventive with how I actually do battle, and it forces me to use those runes where in past Zeldas, there's one use for this and one use only. You'll never use it again. And while that's
well, there's like three things. There's like three things in like use a boomerang and the hookshot in combat, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like now, like, well, let me see what's up with this
border
thing.
I can use pretty much everything for all of it. So that I feel is very smart, and yeah, it makes the playstyle diverse. Like you can every single fight can be different if you wanted it to be.
Yeah, so, it's a really good game.
Yeah.
I'll,
how electricity works is also awesome. I don't know if you've I got to a point where I had I was attacking a camp that was overpowered for me, but it was to fill a quest, and they were near the water, and I would shoot the electricity arrows into the water, and it would cause an arc of damage and just zap everyone. I was like, oh man, this is fucking awesome.
That's really cool. I have not tried
that
yet.
Cool. Yeah. And if it rains, it does the same thing. So it started to rain, and I could hit the ground, and it would cause, like, an arc.
So that stuff is cool, where, like, lightning storms, it, like, metal weapons, metal boxes will get struck. Also, when it's raining, like, you can't climb stuff. Like, so the way the environment works is pretty cool. And they make it pretty easy to, like, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, if you're trying to climb something, it rains, like, you don't, there are ways to get past it. Like, you can sleep, it doesn't last for, like, forever.
Yep. Yeah, that's good.
It's a weird game because there aren't a lot of other games like that.
No. And that says a lot.
Yeah, it's.
For as many games as we play, and open world, like.
It is a Nintendo-ass Nintendo game because it's so unique in that. Like, it's so Nintendo.
But the best of Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying
not the like childish. Like,
no, no. I'm talking about Nintendo's design because I think Nintendo has a way of which they design games. It's like no one else. Like this.
But
this could.
The only reason I want to clarify for the millions and millions of fans is that that can also be a negative comment, right? Like, oh, it's a Nintendo game. It's designed
well,
for children.
So,
it's designed
so
for
I think
kids.
Skyward Sword is probably the best example of that because one of the biggest complaints about that game was that like. the beginning of that game was way too hand-holdy. After you got past, like, the first... It was apparently long, like 10 hours or whatever it was. Yeah. It was fine. It was a Zelda game. It was whatever. But it just held your hand for way too long. And this game is the polar fucking opposite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is the polar opposite. And it does actually do a pretty good job of auto-saving in the open world, which I wasn't sure about.
Save more.
Yeah, I know you should. Yeah, I know you should save more. I do. I make sure I do. But, like... It's not like Dark Souls, right? Like, it does a better job of...
It's than not I like thought. Dark Souls, but it's not consistent.
Okay, that's fair.
Because it's not about time. It's about, like, markers
mm-hmm.
or events. And so you could...
Well, I was expecting none of that. So the fact that it has yeah, that at all...
That's fine. But yeah, so if you're in the same area and you're not doing a major event, it could be, you know, 45, 50 minutes... of it not saving anything, and you have to proactively save it, or you lose it. Now, if you travel far enough, you go between different mm-hmm. areas, if you unlock, you know,
a dungeon or something, yeah.
Then it saves. But it's too inconsistent
to be reliable. This sounds like someone that's been burned by it.
Like, twice. Not, we're not talking Final Fantasy 3 hours...
Gone, fuck, yeah.
Like, what happened? But even with that game, like, a lot can happen in like 30, 40
I
minutes.
This could also be a game I could see that could frustrate the shit out of.
Person. Yeah. So anyway, good times.
All right.
Good
so, game. All right. What do you want to do here? We're about in an hour. We still have stuff to talk about. Do you want to break it up?
Yeah, let's break it up.
Okay. So, we're going to put an end to this episode. So, thank you for listening.